There's a lot of talk about a looming global recession, but today the Eurozone reported stronger than expected economic growth. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll start with a check of the numbers because fresh data this hour showed the Eurozone remained more resilient than economists expected between April and June. That's despite pressures from Russia's war in Ukraine. The 19-country economy expanded 4% in the second quarter from a year ago. It smashed expectations for growth of 3.4%. Growth was more robust than anticipated in France, Italy, and Spain, though Germany stagnated during the quarter. The country is heavily dependent on Russian gas, which is now being supplied at only a fraction of its previous rate. In fact, many German cities have begun introducing rationing measures, limiting heating in some public buildings, and forcing people to take only cold showers. Russia's war in Ukraine hasn't just pushed up gas prices, it's put wider price pressures on households. Inflation in July jumped to an annualized rate of 8.9%. That is a fresh record high. Alongside wide-ranging economic concerns due to the war, worries about global food security have been growing. But on Friday, a possible pressure release. Officials from Ukraine and other Western nations gathered in the southern Ukrainian port city of Odessa to watch a ship loaded with grain depart the country for the first time since war began 5 months ago. The BBC's Paul Adams reports from Kyiv.
If everything goes according to plan, a ship loaded with grain will leave the port of Chornomorsk, where it's among a number that have been trapped since the war began 5 months ago. Government officials and Western ambassadors have gathered in nearby Odessa to underline their support for the deal. This is a test run designed to show that an operation fraught with danger can actually work. Operating procedures are still being sorted out. Only when insurers have seen them will the effort to export more than 20 million tons of Ukrainian grain really get underway.
That's the BBC's Paul Adams reporting from the Ukrainian capital. There are new allegations that Russia is recruiting fighters from the poorest parts of the country and that it's resorted to using mercenaries in its war in Ukraine. Britain's defense ministry says a private Russian military company called the Wagner Group has likely been tapped to send troops to the front lines. Vitaly Shevchenko, a Russian editor at BBC Monitoring, explains what the Wagner Group is and how it's funded.
Wagner is a very loose assortment of militants, basically mercenaries paid to fight. In strictly legal terms, it doesn't really exist because mercenary activities are outlawed in Russia. The way these mercenaries exist is primarily to give Russia plausible deniability of involvement in various unsavory situations and conflicts.
And it's thought that it's also at least partially funded by the Russian military.
All the states, the way it works in Russia, it's all about plausible deniability. They're using various rich people known as oligarchs in Russia. And one of them, Yevgeny Prigozhin, has been accused of links with Wagner. He's denying it. In fact, his companies are denying that Wagner exists. But in order not to be linked directly to these militants, the Kremlin has been using various private companies to find militants such as Wagner.
And you mentioned the Russian media there. This is all coming as 36 European nations, alongside the U.S. and Canada, are starting a mission to review the human rights situation inside Russia. They accuse Moscow of suppressing dissenting voices, especially in the 5 months since it invaded Ukraine. And as it happens today, Russia has filed a lawsuit to revoke registration of one of the last independent media outlets operating in the country.
Yes, it's called Novaya Gazeta, which is a beacon of independent journalism in Russia. It was set up in 1993. Its editor-in-chief, Dmitry Muratov, last year he got the Nobel Peace Prize. But right now, the way things stand in Russia, independent journalism has pretty much been outlawed. You can go to jail for calling what's happening in Ukraine a war. It's supposed to be called a special military operation. People have been fined for liking social media posts opposing this war. So Novaya Gazeta, being a newspaper which is very good at investigating things that the Kremlin does not want to be investigated, such as war crimes or crimes committed against members of the LGBT community. They've been under various types of pressure. They've been classified as a foreign agent in Russia. They suspended the publication of their print edition. Their staff have moved abroad precisely because they do not want to go to jail for doing their jobs. And right now, the Russian authorities are trying to revoke the license of its website. So essentially, it's just one more way in which the authorities in Russia are trying to stamp out independent journalism because it challenges the Kremlin's narratives on key issues such as the war in Ukraine.
Vitaly Shevchenko, Russia editor at BBC Monitoring. Thanks so much for breaking this down for us.
Yeah, most welcome.
It's a small thing, but think about the number of pages that you've printed over the course of your career, or even life. How many have ended up either in the trash or recycling bin? The BBC's Roger Harabin reports now on a new environmentally friendly innovation that would allow us to reuse not just the paper, but the ink we use on it.
In the huge yard of the Billerud-Korsnäs paper mill in northern Sweden, piles of felled trees stretch to the distance. A giant grab seizes scores at a time and swings them into the plant. Every few minutes another lorry arrives and the logs are either stored or dropped straight into a huge processing bin.
I'm looking through a grill at a gigantic drum, 36 metres long, about 5 metres wide. And the drum is like a kind of washing machine which is scraping the bark off the trees, and the full-size tree trunks are just being tossed around as though they're matchsticks. It's an extraordinary sight.
This plant is aiming to go zero carbon shortly, but many other paper and pulp mills are less diligent. That makes the paper industry overall the fourth most polluting industry in the world when it comes to greenhouse gases.
In the 1970s, Olivetti had a big campaign called The Paperless Office. Imagine.
Julian Allwood is Professor of Engineering and the Environment at Cambridge University.
Half the energy used by that industry still comes from fossil fuels, so they are causing emissions like all the other major materials producers. And amazingly, demand for paper is still going up. After 50 years of talking about the paperless office, we haven't got there. So we could change that by changing the amount of paper and packaging that we're all using.
There may be a solution to part of that problem in the UK.
I've come to a business park on the outskirts of Oxford, and I'm holding in my hand a copy of a Radio 4 news bulletin. And there's a man here I'm meeting, Barak Yekutyeli, who is going to take this paper and he's going to lift the words off the page, leaving me with a blank sheet of paper. And I promise you, this is not a trick. That whirring sound is a high-powered green laser light. Line by line, it's lifting the words off the page. They've used specially coated paper to stop the ink sinking in, so each page can be reused up to 10 times. That is absolutely amazing. Barak, what have you done with the words?
Well, we basically evaporated the ink, and what's left is just pigments of the ink, which we collect. And those can be recycled back into new printer inks. So we have a printer and then you have a deep printer that could sit next to every printer and work with every printer in the world.
This is clearly an outstanding invention, and if it catches on, it could save many trees. But it's just a tiny fraction of what's needed as the industries that make the stuff all around us come to terms with the urgent need to cut carbon emissions.
That's the BBC's Roger Harabin reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.